scripture today. The scripture is John 3:16 through 21, and I will be reading out of the New International Version. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And those who do evil hate the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But those who live by the truth come into the light so that they may be seen plainly that whatever they have been done is done in the sight of God.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. By the way, thank you guys for that song. It's one of my favorite songs ever. So, Martha, would you share your song with me? Such a beautiful service this morning. We praise the Lord for the opportunity of serving him and sharing his word. We pray that his spirit may be with us this morning so we can understand what we're going to study. So, the sermon for this morning: believing isn't enough. It's a big topic. It's a complicated topic. It's hard to present because there's too much in the Bible about it. And it's hard to narrow it to, 30, 35 minutes? I'll try to finish before 12 today. Yeah. Amen. 12 a.m. No, just kidding. I'll try to be short. But it's really hard because there's too much to present in that short time. So I'll try to do my best. And let's talk about it. Believing isn't enough. What do we believe in as Seventh-day Adventist Christians? What are our beliefs? And you might have people in the congregation today stand up and speak out and you know, say all the beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventists, the 28 that we have, by heart. We believe in several things. The world also believes in several things, different things, good things, bad things. What do we believe in? Little story. I grew up in a little town, a little village, where we had this beautiful river. And I love swimming. Anyone here love swimming too? Let me see. It might be, if not the most, the one that I love the most, one of those things that I love doing outdoors, you know, swimming in rivers, lakes, although I'm scared of crocodiles. Yeah, terrified. I have this phobia, and I think anywhere when I'm swimming and it's dark, I feel like if there's a crocodile underneath. I'd rather to swim in the pool, but never mind. But we have this beautiful river in the little village where I grew up. And it's crystal clear, white sand, warm all the time. You could go swimming and spend the whole day without getting cold, in the shade if you want. Or you can go, if you don't like sand, you can go to a place where there's like little rocks and it's just like rocks. You can walk in the rocks and swim also in the area where there's just rocks underneath. No darkness nor anything. And I would love to go swimming there. As my cousins would love to go swimming with me as well. But it will be extremely hard to convince my aunt to take us to that river. For some reason, she didn't like going to the river. And we will have to start talking about it weeks before. Oh, we want to go to the river on this date, and it's going to be a Sunday. We don't have really anything to do. We don't have to go to Pathfinders, to church. We don't have to do anything. We can go to the river that day. And also, you know, our neighbor is going too, and they're taking their kids, so we could go and hang out with them, and we can cook there. we will start talking about it, and our aunt will be, I don't want to go, and so don't plan, because we're not going. Don't think we're going. But we'll start believing that we could convince her. And so we'll start working towards that because we wanted to accomplish that. And we'll just go on and talk to her. So you know what? We can clean the house, which we'll have to do anyway, but it was really hard for us to do on a daily basis. She will have to ask us twice or three times to do it, and after we lose our time in the morning playing games or doing whatever we have to do before cleaning the house, then we'll eventually do it. But because we wanted to go to the river, we will do that early in the morning. At 6 a.m. we'll be up and cleaning the house, and we'll do extra work. We'll clean the yard as well. We'll pull up the weeds and have the house pretty. And then she will come, the house is clean already. Yes. Are you taking us to the river? And she'll be like, yes. And finally, after putting our effort on it, we will accomplish that. We will get that we first believe, and then we work to get. And you probably know where I'm going with this. Believing isn't enough. John 3:16, our scripture for today. Let's read the first part. Let's go on to the sermon. And then let's go back after a while into our scripture. But the first, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only and one son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So whoever who believes in Jesus will have eternal life. That is a good concept. And it's really nice presented in that verse. But it's not the only verse in the Bible that talks about believing in Jesus and being saved. There are several other verses that mention salvation through believing plus something else. I was searching in the dictionary the meaning of the word believe because I wanted to fully understand the word before going on to into my study. And according to Thesaurus, believe means to have confidence in the truth, the existence, or the reliability or something. I don't know how to pronounce that word. Can someone teach me? Reliability, that's it. Of something, although without absolute proof that one is right on doing so. And I was like, I searched for several definitions, and this is the one that caught my attention. It's like believing in all the things, and then makes a clarification, without absolute proof that one is right on doing so. Is it possible that we believe in Jesus, and then not being able to reach salvation? If we look at synonyms of believing, some of them are admit, conclude, consider, have, hold, regard, supposed, think, trust, understand, and there's like up to 50 that apply to that word, believe. We can admit that Jesus is the Son of God. We can conclude, get to the conclusion that he is the Son of God. Yeah. We can think, we can trust that he is the Son of God. We can understand that he is the Son of God. But that isn't enough for our salvation. We have a little math formula that we're going to share today. Gonna come up any moment. Okay. But for that, I'm gonna ask you to go with me to Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Looks like math, right? Do I have any math teacher here? Is there any math? Math geek? Teacher lover, math lover, you're going to help me with this. By the way, I'm not good in algebra, but try to do my best. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 18. Let's read. It says, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.'" Let's stop there. So according to verse 16, it says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." So this is what we have. This is our equation here. B plus X equals S. B plus B, that X, substitute by the B. Believe plus baptism equals what? Salvation. According to this verse. This formula could be used for different things. It could be belief plus baptism, but it also could be belief minus baptism and its condemnation. Does that make sense? Because according to the verse, says, "He who believes," Mark 16, 16, "he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be," what? Condemned. Like, you can be baptized, but if you don't have a true, real relationship with God, you are condemned. Moving on. Belief plus faith. I put the X in the equation because the X could mean several things, different things. Belief plus faith also equals salvation. You could believe, you could have faith. And at certain point, certain moment of your life, you could be saved without being baptized. What happened to the thief on the cross? In the last minute of his life, he believed in Jesus Christ, he had faith, and he was saved. It could absolutely simplify to be equal salvation, which doesn't make sense with the title of my sermon, but it's also possible. Because we don't believe in children baptism, do we? We don't baptize them. But if we believe that they're going to heaven, they'll be saved in case that they die. We don't believe in that. Because we believe in God's love, God's grace. If we go back to Mark chapter 16, Mark explains, and he says, verse 17, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So when we believe, go back, when we believe, plus we are baptized, we will bear fruit of Christians. And those fruits will be seen by our church, by our family, our church, by the world. And so here we have a list of things that those who believe and really have faith, believe in God, will do. Yeah, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents and stuff. I want to take you to another test then. Acts chapter 16, verse 22. This is the story when Paul and Silas were in Philippi, and they went to jail because they healed that girl that had that evil spirit, and they got mad at them and put them in jail. Verse 22 says, "The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be striped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer then called for them out and asked them, "Sir, what must I do to be safe?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be safe in your household with you." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were what? Were baptized. Here we have an example of what we see in Mark 16. He who believes and is baptized will be safe. They come to the disciples and they ask, "What can we do to be safe?" Yeah, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your house will be safe. And what did they do? They believe, but after they believe in Jesus Christ, immediately they were baptized. And I praise the Lord because we are a church that believes in baptism as a testimony showing the world that we believe in a God that can forgive our sins and that can save us from our sins. Now, if we go to James chapter 2, verse 18 through 24, we're going to find something else. Okay, we have this part of the formula, baptism plus, belief plus baptism equals salvation. James chapter 2, verse 18 to 24 says something else that is interesting too. But someone will say, "You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my work." You believe that there is one God? You do well. Because even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his work, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. We are justified by faith. We believe that. We believe that we are safe when we have faith in Jesus Christ. But then we have to show through our works that faith. Because even the demons believe. And it terrifies me. When I was studying, and I thought, well, in that moment, when Lucifer, that angel in heaven, said no and sinned, and he was, acting out this rebellion against God, it wasn't just him, but the third part of the angels with him. And it terrifies me because I'm a simple human being, a sinner, and the angels in heaven, kind of perfect, fell in Satan's trap. And every time I pray, God, please give me your Holy Spirit and help me to stand in this world, because it's going against your will. All the time, everything we see out there, it's just going against God's commandments, against God's laws. And it's really hard to stand out. And with everything that is happening, we can't be drowned into mistakes, even being here in church. So I always pray that God can keep me in his way, and that he can keep leading his church just as he's been doing it. There's two stories in Matthew that also shows that when you believe in Jesus and you have faith, you can reach salvation. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. And here we find two stories actually in one. It's the woman who was healed, and then and then how Jesus saved Jairus' daughter, how he raised her. Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 26 says, "While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, 'My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live.'" In the first part of the story, we see this man, he believed in God. He believes in Jesus. He has faith, and he thinks that he's going to save his daughter that just died. So Jesus arose and followed him, and saw his disciples, and suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." We can see two stories together. I don't know. They kind of like mix. And the first one shows this man, and he has faith in Jesus. He has faith in that Jesus, the fact that Jesus can raise his daughter. And then this lady comes to Jesus. "If I only just touch his garment, I will be saved. I will be healed." Did it happen? In the same moment, the woman was healed because she believed, but she also touched Jesus. Believing wasn't enough. She had to do something else. And then this man, he comes to Jesus, and then, "I believe in you, so you have to come and save my daughter." And Jesus worked it out for him. Keep reading. It says, "When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, 'Make room, for the girl is not dead, but she's just sleeping.' And they laughed at him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went and took her by the hand, and the girl rose. And the report of this went out into all that land." Here we see faith, but we also see action. Something else. That formula. We have to believe, and we have to do something in order to obtain what we want. That was chapter 9, right? Let's go turn your page to chapter 8 and see the story of the centurion servant. Chapter 5, chapter 8, verse 5 through 13. "Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' And the centurion answered to him, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, Assuredly I say to you, I have not found such a great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into utter darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus said to the centurion, Go your way, and as you have believed, as you have what? As you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. The servant believed. But he didn't just believe. He went up to reach Jesus. He found Jesus. He talked to Jesus. He asked Jesus to save his servant. And he had faith in him. And that's why it was done to him. Now, the Bible is clear. And sadly, not everyone who believes in Jesus will be saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Luke is talking and he's saying, okay, in the latter days I will pour out my spirit and my youth will prophesy and my elders will see visions and stuff. And he's telling what, and then whoever who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay, I just have to say Jesus. Jesus, save me. And that's all. No, that's not all. Sadly. If we go to Matthew chapter 7, 21 to 23, it says, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And so Matthew chapter 7 has a direct connection with Mark chapter 16 that we read at the beginning, where we got our formula. Because Mark says that the signs of those who believe in Jesus are that they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will be by no means, it won't hurt them. Notice that here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, it says, not everyone who calls on my name will be saved. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons? In your name? And done many wonders in your name? And then Jesus will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawless, you practice evil. So it is really possible, very possible, that we have an appearance that we believe in Jesus. It will be possible even to cast out demons in the name of Jesus. It will be possible to perform miracles in the name of Jesus. And in that day, when Jesus comes, everyone will be raising all those who are safe. And we think we're going to be safe, but we don't go up. And I want to go up, but everybody is going. And why am I not going? Because you're not going to be safe, sadly. I don't know you. Do you have a relationship with me, a deep relationship with me? No. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will be safe. And we can look back through the church history and we can see how it's been a process. It's been a process to believe that we can be saved by faith, and then after we're saved by faith, by Jesus sacrificing the cross, we can reach salvation. And after we're saved, then we bear those fruits. And at the beginning, the church went to the extreme of saying that if you want to be saved, you have to do, you have to work, you have to punish yourself. Until Martin Luther comes and says, no, sola fide, the Latin words for justification by faith. That's what we believe. We are saved only by faith in Jesus Christ. When we believe in him, we at least need to have faith and believe in his salvation toward us. If you go back to our scripture, John chapter 3, verse 16, it also connects to Mark chapter 16 and the second part where it says that whoever doesn't believe in him will be condemned. We read chapter 6, verse 16. Now, verse 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So if God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to be saved, and Jesus came, why are we condemned? He sent his son into the world. Jesus came. Jesus died for us. Then we have to go back to our formula. Whoever believed in him and is baptized and has faith, that's the one who will be saved and won't be condemned. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the condemnation. This is what I like about this verse. We usually read John 3:16. For God so loved the world. It's so beautiful that we present that God sent his Son into the world and God's love and how salvation came through Jesus. But then this part, this following part of the text, it's so interesting. It declares the condemnation. It describes the condemnation of those who don't believe and don't accept Jesus. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. Nice stop. How can the condemnation be that the light came into the world? If the world was in darkness, if the world was suffering with sin, how is it possible that receiving life is the condemnation? This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. See the picture. There's darkness in the world. God sent his Son, which is the light of the world. And then there's this group of people who see the light. And at a certain point, they walk into the light, and they're not in darkness anymore. But they love what they were doing in the darkness too much to stay here in the light. Okay, I don't want to be in the light. I'm going to go back into the darkness. And I'm going to stay in here because here no one sees what I'm doing, because here it's just comfortable, because I like this. This is good. And I know the light is there. Well, in fact, I hate the light. I won't go into there. I won't walk into that light. The light is bad for me. Man, you are condemned. That is the condemnation. And sometimes we misunderstand. Sometimes we misread. And what he's saying is not that we are condemned because Jesus came into the world. We are condemned because Jesus came into the world. And we at some point, hear about him, that he brought salvation, and we didn't believe in him. We just say, oh yeah, he came to save the world. I believe that he came to save the world. But I don't believe that he can save me. That is the condemnation. So God sent his son because he loved the world, so he can save the world. Even if you believe in him, you can be saved. But believing isn't enough. I want to close today with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, where Paul is writing about faith and how faith works and how all the people in the Bible, they showed the world through their works how they had faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It is impossible to come to God without faith. But when we have faith, it also requires to believe. And if you've noticed, most of the verses that we've mentioned this morning, they mention faith. But they also mention believing. Believing isn't enough. We need to have faith in Jesus Christ. We need to live a godly life. We need to walk in God's light and accept him into our heart. And it's really hard. I don't even understand it. We're all human. And we struggle to keep walking in God's light. But it's possible when we believe in him and we have faith. He will bring salvation unto us. God bless you.
Would you stand with me as we sing song number 341, To God Be the Glory. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you because you allow us to know the truth and allow us to walk into your light. Please help us to open our hearts to receive you, Lord, and that we can be pure Christians, that we can walk with you every day of our lives, and that we can show to the world that we believe in you, Lord, and that we work for you. Help us to light up this world, Lord, that is in darkness, and help us to just be Christians, Lord, to love each other and to love those who need you, that we can also reach them so they can come to you before it's too late, oh Lord. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for being with us in this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.